That last verse, by the way, was sung by a group of children because what Naco Bear felt was that our future is our children, as we are seeing with climate strikes now. Well, again, thank you for everybody for being here today on this beautiful day, and thank you, Joyce, for leading the service. And thank you for the music, as always. So I first heard Naco and Medicine for the People about 3 years ago on Pandora when I was living in Seattle. And I listened to a number of the songs on one of his albums, and then this particular album, Verge, Manifesto, really struck me in a very deep-rooted way because I thought, here's a song that I thought maybe Unitarian Universalists might enjoy. And the word manifesto can be applied in many different ways, some of them not so good and some of them better. And manifesto usually means a declaration of purpose or intention of this is what we are going to do to change the world in some way. And when I first got here and read your Unison Covenant and Mission Statement, I thought, well, that's kind of a manifesto, I think. Our covenant is to be a loving, joyful community that nurtures spiritual growth, promotes compassion, social responsibility, and service in an atmosphere of mutual respect. Our mission is to be a faith community devoted to love and respect and reason and justice. And I looked at that and I thought, okay, that could be a manifesto. It's a declaration of intent. And then when I started reading again the final lyrics of Naco Bear's song, Manifesto, I thought, I wondered how we as Unitarian Universalists might articulate those words in our purpose and mission in the world. Don't waste your hate, rather gather and create. Be of service. Be a sensible person. Use your words and don't be nervous. You can do this. You've got purpose. Find your medicine and use it. So consider what we do together. We gather in community every Sunday for inspiration and hope in a world that is all too dangerous and fragmented. We are invited to create something better, to be of service, to be sensible, to find and use our words that will heal rather than harm. We aspire to have a purpose beyond these walls in the world, to do our tiny little part to make the world, to make Meadville, to make our friends and companions along the way a better people. And that, to me, is a manifesto. So I'm going to ask two questions this morning, followed by what we might have, if we have time, is a time for discussion and a time for quiet. The first question is, how do we find our medicine as individuals, primarily white people from Europe, from European background, but also as a church, as this building, and it's more than a building, it contains so much history. And the second question is, how do we use our own types of medicine to help heal ourselves and the world? Now, I should add here that we're not talking about medicine as pills or hospitals or surgeries or Western medical procedures. This version of medicine is holistic and spiritual in its identity and approach. And when I was living at a Buddhist monastery in Oregon a number of years ago, one of the first things we were taught that, unlike in the West, where mind and heart are two very separate things. In Japan, it's basically heart-mind. It is one connected whole or holistic sense of being a human being. They're not separate. They're together, and they influence one another. Heart, mind. But let's go to that word medicine and what American Indians, as one example, call medicine in Native traditions. I contacted a friend of mine in Fort Worth, where I did an interim a number of years ago. He's an attorney, and he's three-quarters Cherokee. He lived on Cherokee lands in Oklahoma for the first half of his life. The opening words this morning are a paraphrasing of what he told me and referred me to online. Medicine means the presence and power embodied in or demonstrated by a person, a place, an event, an object, or a natural phenomenon. In some tribes, he said, the word for medicine may connotate spirit or power or energy, or spiritual potency. It's another way, he said, of expressing the power of places, like, as he gave an example, the Black Hills, or the Grand Canyon, which is considered a very sacred place for a number of American Indian tribes. And I'm willing to bet if any of you have been to the Grand Canyon, have any of you been to the Grand Canyon? It's an awesome place, isn't it? I imagine. I haven't been there yet. And it, from what people tell me, it is just awesome. It fills you with a sense of awe of nature and of this world as it is. And that is one of the ways that American Indian tribes have described it. But it is so much more for them because of their history. He also said the Cherokees see eagle feathers as powerful symbols of healing and spiritual growth. And these and many other objects and places have inherent power to help people become wiser, to grow up, to find out what their journeys in life will be all about. Now, most of us, perhaps all of us here, are from primarily European ancestors. We're not American Indians. We're not Aborigines from Australia. We have very few ties to those communities. But does that mean that we do not have our own form of spiritual medicine? Do we have any equivalent objects or symbols that could be called medicine for ourselves? Well, my friend in Fort Worth and I talked about this for a bit, and I mentioned we talked about a number of symbols that would be considered spiritual medicine. And one of them, a very simple one, is a wedding ring. It symbolizes a joining together of two people, ideally for life. And I have done many weddings over the course of the last 26 years, and whether you've been in one or participated in a wedding, you know that the moment of exchanging vows and exchanging rings is very, very powerful. It goes very deep into our hearts and minds. Another example would be prayer and meditation. Our spiritual, emotional, and physical health can be powerfully aided by regular meditation and contemplative prayer. And I would add here that these mala beads that I have, which I bought just down the street, are very powerful medicine for me because they're reminders of my daily meditation and my practice to become a more whole human being. That's medicine too. So do you have medicine or gifts of singing, dance, writing, art, some particular skill that you carry in yourself that you learned perhaps as a child or as an adult that gives you nurturing and support even when times are hard? What is your medicine? Now, our spiritual medicine doesn't necessarily come to us when we are an adult. When I was a child living on a farm in Maine, I developed a particular skill to sense mood changes and potential danger from the adults who brought me up. Even subtle changes in facial expressions would bring me to a very alert presence and a need to escape if needed. That became a medicine of survival. Another more enjoyable medicine was when I could bask in the presence of nature. I still remember how wonderful it felt in the very late winter, early spring, to lie on an exposed mound of hay from the past fall, and in the winter sun, and the hay would just smell warm and fragrant. And I could hear the drops of water coming down from the roof of the barn. And I might even hear, if I was listening closely, the sounds of robins on the lawn where the snow had melted. And even to this day, that memory from those early years of my life fills me with joy of nature and being in the world. And that was my medicine to this day. And other forms of spiritual medicine are heirlooms like jewelry or photos. I would imagine maybe some of you are wearing jewelry that has come down from your ancestors. And you may wear it just as a memento, but maybe it also has a deeper connection for you to those who were your forebears. They can remind us of our ancestors or events that are powerful stories. And yes, on the face of it, a photo is a photo. It may go back 100 years and it's black and white and everybody looks a really grim and rigid in it. But in that photo is a story, perhaps of your family, perhaps of people who you no longer know. Their stories have ended, but that photograph still gives them presence. So how do our symbols and places or persons act as spiritual medicine to help us heal ourselves in the world? A number of years ago, and I won't say where, because I've done 16 interims and consulting ministries now, a person came into my office to talk to me about his broken marriage and an affair that he was having. I asked him how he reconciled his marriage vows and the reality of his current situation. He thought for a moment with a few tears in his eyes and said, well, what he always did was if he was involved in this affair, he would take his wedding ring off. I asked him why. He said he removed the ring because he felt torn up inside with his extramarital relationship. He thought that removing the ring was a small gesture to feel less ashamed. And of course, I had to ask him, how did that work out? He said, no, it didn't work. He felt even more ashamed than before. We talked for many sessions, and I remember later on, he asked his wife and his family and the woman with whom he was involved their forgiveness, and he made amends. Later, I did a marriage renewal ceremony for the two of them, his wife and he, and as far as I know, probably 20 years later, they're still married. That's the power of wedding rings as medicine. So let's pause here for a moment. What might you be wearing as jewelry that might be called medicine? that gives you a special connection to perhaps an ancestor, to one of your parents. Or it might be the symbolism of the color of a gemstone. A number of people I know love to wear blue gemstones. And it's not so much the story of the stone or the story of the pendant, but it's the color that resonates with them. Does whatever you're wearing have a special story? Do you wear it for a purpose? Do you wear it to remind you that you are not isolated beings in an unfriendly world? And what about your profession? Teacher, mechanic, writer, social worker. How are those gifts of your medicine or power or skill make you a stronger, more confident, wise person? What do they do? How have they helped you? One thing I think of immediately is being a mother. Being a mother is powerful medicine. And I know it is a hard task. But at our best, it is powerful medicine, not for us, just for ourselves, but also our children. Okay, so much for us. What about this church called Unitarian Universalist Church of Meadville? What medicine does it have that we might carry forth and use? Now, I've said before that this building is the church, but it really isn't. This building is a building. It was built in 36. Thank you. The congregation was started in 1825, just 5 years from now, and you're going to have a party whether you like it or not. Imagine all the people in this building over generations since 1835 who have sat here on Sundays, probably listened to a few boring sermons, and been inspired or enthused by others. There likely were memorial services here with tears and maybe some laughter. And there were weddings that happened here with beaming relatives or nervous relatives and couples exchanging vows and rings. For almost 200 years, people have gathered here, and in some subtle way, their presence is still among us. And down all those generations, they who are our ancestors look to us to continue the flame of the chalice. All those generations of people are still here in these walls. Most of their names are lost to history, but their presence is here. Very subtly, but very present. And their hopes for this church have been carried down to us today. So what is a special power or a spiritual medicine that might use this space with all of these invisible people who have been here for so long? How could we possibly use this space as medicine? Well, there's one example coming from Nako's song. It's the power of musical medicine. Now, from what I am told, because I'm not a music person, this space has excellent acoustics. Am I right? Okay, good. I'm right on that one. You also have accomplished musicians in this congregation, and you have any number of gifted musicians in this area. And I should add here, there's the organ, which has a long and illustrious history behind me, and of course, you're a piano. So let's imagine, just for the fun of it, that part of your medicine as a church is a space to share beautiful music of many types. And I know you've done this in the past. And remember, good medicine is a type that will soothe our troubled lives and help others be healed. That's what good medicine is about in Native traditions. So what I've suggested to some of you is that we plan a benefit concert for some very important social cause in Meadville this coming winter or spring. Now, I have no idea what it is. I haven't been here very long. But you folks do know. I think you'd have some great ideas. And a benefit concert won't be primarily for this congregation. It would be reaching beyond these walls and finding ways to support the larger community rather than simply ourselves. So I want you to imagine for a moment a concert here with a full house, including a balcony. Gifted musicians would play instruments, sing songs, and maybe even have the audience join in. And maybe even more, if I fantasize a bit, there would be monitors up there and up there on the near the top that would be able to project lyrics or maybe close-ups to the musicians. And imagine such a benefit concert for the hope and healing and support of this community called Meadville, being able to show how powerful, how caring, how loving you are, not just within these walls, but out there in the world that suffers. Imagine your medicine being used and heard and visible to the entire community. Just once. Just try it once and see what happens. Can people come to this church and find ways to use your medicine to cope with difficult lives, jobs, or intense relationships? Because part of what a church is all about is teaching. And it isn't necessarily the Bible, as many churches do, or many words, or even music. It is helping us understand how do we live our lives in such a strange time as this, when we do not know what the future holds. What would be our teachings? So I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to ask us this question. And I think what we'll do is take a few minutes, and you can talk to one another. And the question is this: what is our church medicine, our particular power or gift that we can use to help heal the world? Is it being free thinkers, as your website proclaims? Would it be addressing the original sin of America, racism? Might it be giving people a safe place to be spiritual and religious? What is the medicine that you carry, every one of us? What is the medicine of this church that we might be able to have blossom in coming years? So I'd invite us for 2 or 3 minutes to choose, either picking a neighbor right around you to talk to listen to. What is your medicine? What's the medicine of this church? How might it work? And if you want to stay very quiet because you're a Unitarian Universalist and you don't want to be told what to do, you can be quiet and just take it all in. And then I will ring the bell. So I would invite you to take just a couple minutes and ask each other, what is our medicine? Before we sing. Thank you.